It's early on a Tuesday morning in downtown Los Angeles. Staff members of the Harm Reduction Center Needle Exchange are busily packing up brown paper lunch bags. They're filling the bags with syringes, sterile water, cotton balls. At precisely 8:30 a.m., the doors open and the rush begins.
Did you bring any needles today? Are you exchanging for anyone else?
Michael Poor, tall, lanky, and missing all his teeth, is one of the first in a daily procession of injection drug users. He lives in a tent just down the street and is addicted to methamphetamine.
I started back in the day when you couldn't get a clean syringe and you had to use one that had been used 15, 20 times, you know, and you know, God knows what they had or what you had.
This morning, Poor pulls 35 used needles from a faded backpack and dumps them into a bright red bin. Poor, who's 47, visits the bustling exchange daily. Getting clean syringes puts his mind at ease. He already has hepatitis C and doesn't want HIV, too.
Thanks to the needle exchange, I've stayed pretty healthy, which is a hard thing to do when you're injecting drugs.
With needle exchanges now able to compete for federal funds, some may get a big financial boost. It's a welcome change. The exchanges operate on a thin margin and rely on limited local dollars and private donations. Mark Casanova oversees the L.A. Needle Exchange. Casanova says he hopes to use federal dollars to expand medical care, treatment programs, and overdose prevention.
I'm really, really happy that they've lifted the ban and we're able to purchase supplies and maybe add staff, but it doesn't go far enough.
That's because there's one thing he can't do with the money. Pay for the 1.2 million syringes he distributes each year. It's a third of his budget. There are about 200 needle exchanges around the country. Almost all are in big cities. Don Desjarlais is a professor at Mount Sinai's Medical School in New York and studies needle exchanges. He says federal money will make it easier for programs to open in areas with fast-growing populations of new needle users.
Syringe exchange programs have really been concentrated in large cities and have done an excellent job in preventing HIV infection where they've been implemented. But we now really need to move to address the new injectors that we see in small towns and in rural areas.
Desjarlais says this is not an addict issue. It's a public health issue. Heroin use is spiking, up 150% in just 7 years. And diseases can spread when users share needles. But critics say needle exchanges encourage drug use and shouldn't get federal funding. Kelvina Fay is the executive director of Drug Free America Foundation.
When we've got people that are wanting to get clean and that are standing in line waiting for a treatment bed, and we don't have enough beds out there, the money could certainly be better spent.
Heroin?
Speedball. Heroin and cocaine.
Back at the Los Angeles Needle Exchange, clients, young and old, men and women, wait their turn. 49-year-old heroin addict Diamond Mendoza is dropping a pile of syringes onto a metal pan and counting them.
I usually bring about 40 at a time. I exchange my dirties for my cleans, and it's really good here.
Mendoza says he's HIV-free because he's careful. He only uses needles once. Executive Director Mark Casanova says, like it or not, injection drug use is up. And business at exchanges is booming. He says handing out clean needles helps everyone, not just his clients.
I'm appreciative of, you know, the forward thinking that the legislators had in lifting the ban. But we need to be a little bit more forward thinking and protect the health of everyone. And having syringe access is key to syringe exchange.
Getting federal dollars to protect the health of everyone still won't be easy. The funding available for drug programs is limited, and exchanges still have to jump through hoops to receive it. For Here and Now, I'm Anna Gorman in Los Angeles.